Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, let's finish our series today. If you got a copy of God's Word, our main text and only text is Psalm 127. There's 150 of them, and this is going to be the 127th Psalm. So if you got a copy of God's Word, would you open it up to that spot? And also, if you've got something to take notes, you know, note takers are history makers, so why don't you get that ready? Psalm 127. And this is an incredible psalm. It's actually a poem written by Solomon. Now, maybe you've grown up in church like myself, and you just assume that David wrote all the psalms. He wrote most of them, but not all of them. Solomon wrote a couple of them, and this is one. This is a poem that he wrote, and here's what it says. I'm going to my favorite translation personally, the New King James Version. It's some old school mixed with some new school. That's why I like it. And here's what it says, just a few verses. Psalm 127, starting in verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. That would be a good spot to amen God's word. Colin, let me give you another chance. Okay, I believe in grace. Okay, so hang with me. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Amen. That was sarcastic, but I'll take it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. If you know my wife and I, our parenting journey this last year, a lot of people praying for us, we will shout a big amen to that part of the verse. Yes, God, give us sleep. Sleep is amazing, and it is fleeting for us in this season. So yes, amen to that. Verse 3, behold, your children, they're a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, not to be confused with the fruit of the loom, that's underwear, y'all. Okay, fruit of the, this is as good as the jokes get, okay? So just hang with me here. This is as good as they get. Fruit of the womb, not the loom, and it's a reward, Solomon says. Verse 4, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy. In a lot of translations, it says blessed here. And really, that word blessed in this context is happy, happy. So got some Duck Dynasty up in God's word, okay? Happy, happy is the man who has his quiver full of arrows. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. If you're taking notes, I'm calling the last week of this series Arrows. Would you write that down? And then I've got a subtitle as well. You can write this down as well. Burdens or blessings? Arrows, burdens, or blessings? Let's pray together. Jesus, we love you so much. And again, I just thank you for the people, God, that you're raising up here and the people that you're bringing to join us on this journey, God. And Lord, I just pray right now for every single person. I pray, God, we continue to have fun in your house and we would also grow together and learn together. I pray, God, that we would lean in. I pray, Lord, that even online and in the room as well, that, God, we would do our best to eliminate distractions so we can stay locked in. God, honestly, if we can just hear one word from you, our day would have been worth it showing up, logging on to be a part of the service today. Because we know this, one word from you can change our lives. God, you have power. You have authority. God, you have such wisdom and insight as you spoke through people like Solomon, your written holy word. God, I pray that we would approach it with humility, but also, God, expectancy that you have a word for us no matter what season that we're in. We love you and we thank you, and it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Now, obviously, the focus of this week and the focus of Solomon's psalm here, this poem, is parenting. And parenting, it's a challenge, isn't it? Like even if you don't have kids yourself, you've got a good friend that they've got a whole bunch of kids, right? And it's loud in their house, or you got kids represented in your family somewhere, maybe nieces or nephews, or that third cousin removed, you know, that kid needs Ritalin, you know what I'm saying? Like, we all got people and kids somewhere in our family dynamic. And as the psalm says, having kids is a blessing. What does Solomon say? It's actually a reward from God, but sometimes it feels like a burden. Like, let's just be honest. In God's house, I've got three of them, my wife and I. It's meant to be a blessing from God, kids, but sometimes it can feel like a burden. And I know in our marriage specifically, and we're young and our kids are young, but we got pregnant, but it was just my wife, you know, just kind of along the journey with her. And we had kids like right away. That's what we wanted, and we were dumb, but still, like, that's what we wanted. And so we had kids right away, and we didn't realize that, man, the moment you have your first child, and all parents, no matter what season you're in, you can relate to this, the moment you have your first kid, everything changes. Like everything, okay? And so we went from being able to go on spontaneous dates. Hey, where do you want to go tonight? Let's just drive and figure out where we want to go. Or hey, where do you want to go on Saturday? Let's just wait till Saturday morning. Let's sleep in. Oh man, that sounds really good. Got to be honest with you, but let's sleep in. And you're spontaneous. But when you have kids, anytime you want to go out on a date, it's like you're planning a military invasion, okay? I'm serious. Like, you got bags and plans, and it's just insane. And not to mention that finding a babysitter is really hard, somebody that you can trust that your kids will still be alive at the end of the day. You know what I'm talking about? Like, not only is that hard, but finding a babysitter that you can afford is really hard. How many of y'all know, and they joked about it in the skit, but it is true. Kids, they make a lot of money these days. And for real, I had a conversation with a couple a week ago. It's like, if you can afford to have a babysitter, then you can't even afford to go anywhere for your date. And so your babysitter, that 13-year-old girl, she could buy filet mignon while you're eating at McDonald's for your date, okay? That's just how it is. In restaurants, it changes. Like, before you have kids, going to a restaurant is a joyous occasion. You take your time. There's sometimes even silence. It's amazing. But when you have kids, how many of y'all know, it's real loud. And people see you coming from the parking lot. And not only that, like, we got great kids. We really, really do. But we've had to leave a restaurant before because it got so out of hand. I mean, there should not be screaming and crying and vomit and Dora the Explorer, like, in the restaurant environment. But we've had them all there and more. You know what I'm talking about? Like, your life changes overnight. Not just that, but bedtime changes. Like, how many of y'all know, bedtime when you have kids, it is war time in your house. Y'all were friends before, but all of a sudden y'all become enemies for whatever reason. Again, we got three young kids, so I'm just giving you my perspective, all right? But every time that bedtime rolls around, it's almost like it was a new idea to our kids. I'm like, you've been going to bed every single day of your life. It is normal. It is healthy. What is this bedtime you speak of, Dad? What is this? Why can't I stay up tonight? Like, what is going on? And not just that, but as soon as you get one of them down, if you got multiple kids, the other one wakes up. And as soon as you get one of them down, all of a sudden they're dying of thirst and they need water instantly. As soon as you get one, the struggle is real, y'all. You get one of them down and then all of a sudden somebody peed the bed, or all of a sudden somebody vomited, or all of a sudden, like, they're scared. They're, Dad, I'm so scared. The boogeyman is in the closet. No, I killed the boogeyman yesterday. You're good to go. You know, it's just like, it's hard. It's hard. Pray for us. Bedtime is crazy. Bathroom breaks are crazy, especially if you got young kids. I see several here. I know your story. You got young kids like we do, man. Man, bathroom breaks be crazy when you got young kids, right? Somewhere it takes you 5 minutes to go normally. You schedule in an hour at least. Happened to us yesterday. Like, here's the thing with young kids and bathroom breaks. They don't tell you when they need to go. They tell you when they have to go or they're currently going, right? Y'all know it's true, right? Like, it's just true. And so what do we do? It's the weirdest stuff becomes normal when you got kids. Constantly asking them in front of strangers loudly at restaurants or at the church building, do you have to go potty or poo-poo? Tell me now. Like, do you? And it's not because, like, if you don't have kids, it's not because we like talking like that, but because we've had to clean up the mess when we didn't ask the question every 2 minutes, right? And they're like, no. Why are you asking? I went to the bathroom 4 hours ago. That's why we're asking, right? And so they tell you exactly when they have to go or they're currently going. The struggle is real. I heard a comedian discuss parenting this way. Here's what he said. He said, parenting is like you're drowning and someone throws you a baby. If you got multiple kids like us, it's like somebody threw you three babies at once and you're just trying to keep your head above water. So that's our story, and I know I could give the microphone to each of you if you have kids, even if your kids are grown now, and you could tell stories about your seasons or your scenarios. You got teenagers maybe like that video, or even your children are adult now. Maybe you got kids at home and you wish they weren't at home, or maybe you're praying for one because there's issues. Like, we all got stories, and we've all got different ways that we've handled parenting in the past or spiritual parenting in the present. And so I understand that parenting can feel like a burden, but it is a blessing from God. Here's the truth. I hope you'll jot this down. A blessing can feel like a burden because they're both heavy. Would you process that for a second? And this isn't just parenting. You can apply this to any situation in your life. But a blessing can feel like a burden because they're both heavy. Parenting's this way, but not just parenting. Marriages are this way. Families are this way. They are all meant to be a blessing from God, but if we were honest, sometimes they feel burdensome. They have weight to them. Why? Because they have meaning. Because those relationships matter. And so my hope today, real simple message, very practical, may not even give you new information, but really I want to give you practical handles to live out what a healthy marriage, healthy family, healthy parenting looks like to help us handle the weight with God's help. And really, God has a design for parenting. God has a design for families, for relationships. And so check this out. Follow this line of logic. And so since God designed family, since God designed parenting and life, he gets to also define them too. Since he created them, he gets to tell us how to handle them. Can I get an amen in God's house? And so I just have 2 points. Again, they're not rocket science, but I hope they'll be real practical for you. Number one is this. We see from the text and all over the Bible that your parenting, your marriage, your family life, your personal life, it should be Christ-centered. Well, you're right. That's not new information. It's basic. I told you. I know. But the question is this. Do you just believe in Christ, or are you actually living out a Christ-centered life? Belief is very, very important. Don't get me wrong. It's absolutely necessary, right? That's where we start. But if you truly believe in Jesus Christ, he should filter in to the rest of your life. Can I talk to mom and dads for a second? If your life is Christ-centered, it's not just Sunday mornings. It's Monday through Saturday. It's at home when no one else is watching but God and your kids. By the way, your kids are really smart, and they see things even at a young age. And honestly, they imitate things even at a young age. So if you don't like what's happening with your kids, you can track it all back to you. And it looks uglier sometimes on somebody else, right? Even our own children who are so cute and so cuddly, especially at a young age. Maybe you don't think that with your teenager. I get that. But still, we've got to make sure that we are handling our life and our family Christ-centered. So here's where we start. You need to realize that everyone's life, everyone's family, everyone's parenting, it's orbiting around something. Let's just acknowledge that, okay? Whether you're a Christian or not, whether you love Jesus or hate Jesus, whether somebody tricked you to get here or you're glad you're here, it doesn't really matter. Your life is orbiting around something. Think about our solar system, right? Orbiting planets, orbiting around the sun. Anytime that a planet would try to get there into the sun's place, a mess is going to result, all right? So the solar system is orbiting around the sun, and your life and my life is orbiting around something as well. And so I've got some diagrams here to show you on the screen, and this should work online as well. But again, I want to be real practical because I know this is not new information, but I want to give you the tools necessary to live this out and really think through this, because this is critical. And I know what you're thinking. Well, I'm a Christian. So I'm good. Next point. But no. Just because you say you're a Christian doesn't mean you're living Christ-centered. So let's start at the center. You're going to see a question mark. There we go. Hopefully you can see that online as well. Just listen to my voice here. But that's where we start, right? Everybody's life, yours and mine's, it's centered around something. We're going to keep that as a question mark for a moment. And then next, whatever's at the center, it directly results in your values and beliefs. Whatever's at the center, the next thing is what you value, what you believe in, okay? And again, we're going to leave the center as a question mark for a moment. And then what you value the most, what you believe the most, we all know that next it affects our actions and decisions, right? You think first, act second. So whatever's at the center, I get my value system from that, my belief system from that, and then that's going to start to play out in my life, the decisions that I make, the actions that I take. And then our actions and our decisions result in our influence and impact. Hang with me. I'm just real practical, real simple, because I want you to live this out. This is what God wants for you, okay? Not just on a Sunday morning. So whatever's at the center, values and beliefs, right? That's the next step, actions and decisions, and then influence and impact. Leave this up for just a second. Let it all go white. So here's the deal. What's at the center? Because you start there. Notice that it looks like a target, right? We'll talk about that more in a second. And so you got to define that today. What's going to be at the center of your parenting? What's going to be the center of your marriage? What's going to be the center of your personal life? How you fill in the center will affect everything else. Are you hearing me today? So some people, they place their self at the center. Let's just be honest. That's some of us. Not what you profess. I'm talking about how you live. Nobody would say that. My life's all about me. No one says that. But how are you living? How are you living, right? So what's self? Money? How much money we make? Career? How high we can excel in one area? How big our business can grow, right? Like, that's a big deal. What about this? Self-image. Not just how I see myself, but how I want others to see myself. Throw social media in there, right? Like no one posts about their lowlights on social media. It's all highlights, right? It's because I want people to see my version of myself. And so for many people, self is at the center, but maybe that's not you. For others, it's kids. And that's really what we're talking about today, right? As we focus in on parenting. We call these kind of families, they're led by the kid CEO. The kids are in charge, right? Like, the kids can't drive, and yeah, they don't make any money, but for whatever reason, the kids get to lead the family. So I'm talking kids' sports activities, right? Like their kid is like in 14 different sports, plus throw in piano, right? Like it's just so much. And so everything revolves around the kid or the children. The children are the center of their universe. And so they're always eating, you know, those animal-shaped chicken nuggets every single meal. And they live at McDonald's because of that Happy Meal. They go on vacations that only the kids will like, right? And every decision that they make, it's based upon the children. The children are the center of the universe. Well, the problem with self is that your world is only about you, so you don't have any impact, right? You impact you. That's it. The problem with kids being at the center of the universe, can I just speak to you very frankly? I've counseled a lot of families over the last 10 plus years of doing this, okay? The problem with this is that it actually hurts your kids. It doesn't help your kids when they're at the center. You're putting them in a place, honestly, for some people, they've taken their kids and their kids have actually become an idol. They've never bowed down and worship a 5-year-old, but the way they're living their life is all designed around that 5-year-old. But not only will it hurt your kids, if your kids are at the center of your universe, it will actually hurt your marriage. Guess what? And we'll talk about this later on. One day in time, your kids are supposed to leave. Can I get an amen in God's house? We love our kids. But we don't want 65-year-olds still living in our house and we're paying for everything, right? Like, at one point, they are meant to leave, but your spouse should always stay. Can I say that again? That didn't hit you hard enough like it should have. Kids should leave, but the spouse should always stay. And so you've got empty nesters. They are so hurting and so confused because their marriage was built around, centered around their kids. And when their kids left one day, which they should, that's health. They don't really know that person. And we had a skit earlier, but this is in real life. They're like, I don't even know you. You don't even know me. And there's struggle. And sometimes it even ends in divorce. It's real. It hurts your kids. It hurts your marriage. Can I tell you something else that hurts? It hurts your faith. Because you're teaching your kids that the world revolves around them. And it doesn't. Can I give you freedom today as your pastor? It's okay to tell your kids that their life is not all about them. It's all about Jesus. At least it should be all about Jesus. So we talked about self. Kids, here's another big one, lifestyle. Lifestyle. This is the hobbies that you enjoy, hunting, fishing, other avenues of killing animals, right? Like, you know, whatever you like. And I'm all for them, okay? I even got a hunting illustration here in a second. But your lifestyle, hobbies, stuff that you enjoy, vacations, right? Like material things, stuff that you want. You don't really need it, but we convince ourselves we really need a fourth car, honey. Like we need that boat. I'm just telling, the Lord is speaking to me right now. You know, like we say we need it, but we don't. It's a want. What's the problem here? The problem is that you always have to get more. It's never enough. The TV's got to get bigger. The house has got to get bigger. We need more square feet in our house, Pastor. Maybe you actually do because you're in an apartment. I get that. And you're like, man, we need a little bit more because the kids' stuff is taking over. We can feel all that tension. So I get that. But we just always want more. And so you've got self and you've got kids and you've got lifestyle. Well, what should be at the center? It's Christ. That's the target and that's the goal. You can switch back to me if you haven't already online. So this is the image that I want you to picture. You've got to answer that question today, honestly, before God. What is at the center of your life? What is everything else orbiting around? Why? Because it will affect everything else. Jesus must be at the center. Please hear me. There is a big difference between believing there's a God and also following God. The Bible says in another place, James chapter 2, verse 9, if you don't believe me, you want to research it, but it says this, even the demons believe in God. Let that be sobering for a moment like it should be. Now, we are not saying that your works make you saved. That is not what we're saying. That's not what we're talking about. We're saying this, that if you fully believe in Jesus, if he is at the center of your life, you will desire to follow him. No one has to make you. You want to follow him. You want to serve him. Why? Because everything flows from that relationship with him. If you want to be a better parent, make sure Christ is at the center of your parenting. Can I get an amen in God's house? Number two, I just have 2 points, very simple, but hopefully very practical, is that you need to be mission-minded. Mission-minded. This is living on purpose with purpose. Now, I love this poem, this psalm from Solomon, because he uses what's called a word picture, right? Like, he could just say, be a better parent, but instead he says, kids are like arrows in your quiver. In another place, he says, don't be lazy, but he doesn't say it that way. Solomon uses a word picture. He says, look at that ant down there, you sluggard. Like, don't be like the ant, he says. Don't be lazy. Work hard. They are always working. They are always storing up for what's ahead. He uses word pictures. So here's what Solomon does in Psalm 127. And by the way, if you're a parent, no matter what season that you're in, this would be a great psalm to read every once in a while. It's a part of your rhythm. 5 verses, not very long, but it's to remember to eye that target to be mission-minded. But what Solomon does with this word picture, he says, you know what? Every parent, every grandparent, every spiritual parent, your home is no longer a home. Your home is now an archery range. That's the picture he gives us. It's not a home anymore. It's an archery range. And kids, they are a blessing from God. They are not a burden from God. They are not a liability. They are an asset that are meant to be launched out towards the target, towards God. I'll say it to you this way. Parenting is meant to be a propulsion system, not a prison system. That's what Solomon, the picture he paints. Your kids are meant to be prepared, friend, to be launched out into their God-given destiny, not that you would constantly hover over them like helicopter drone parents. Please do not go to that job interview with your 22-year-old son, okay? You give him the number for the connection. Make him call. Like, you prepare her for the interview, but don't you dare call ahead of time, right? Be easy on my sweet Nancy. Like, be sweet on her. Oh, Lucy, please take it. No, you prepare them to launch them out, right? Like, you don't move into that house with them whenever they get married one day. Like, they're meant to leave and cleave to someone else to start their own family. So some of us, like it's a prison sentence. Like, oh, man, our kids, like, they feel like they're in prison because they are in prison. But we're meant to propel them. In fact, I want to show this to you. Pastor Dante, would you come on up here with a couple of object illustrations? I'm going to get my hunting illustration on for just a second. I'm not just a dude that wears skinny jeans, y'all. I will hunt. I will kill Bambi. Just kidding. All right, would you stand right here? I forgot that we've got kids in the first service. Sorry. That was a joke. Forgive me. Earmuffs. Too late. Okay. So he's got here a beautiful longbow, and he's got an arrow. And then you can't see this online, and that's okay. You don't have to zoom out. But we've also got a target right here. Let me hold his arrow just for a second. Here's the amazing thing about your family is that there are, I got one here, but there are many different arrows, but there's one target. Again, Solomon uses this kind of wording on purpose. He's painting a picture. So we got three. We got Luke, who's 7, Nora, who's 3, and Lucy, who's about to be 10 months. And they're all three different arrows. Here's what I see a mistake that parents make is that we try to make all of our kids act the same, right? Oh, why aren't you like your sister? Like everybody's got, if you got multiple kids, everybody's got one well-behaved and the others are just kind of hanging on, right? You're like, why can't you be like them? They were never meant to be like them. Come on, this illustration, there's so many layers. There's a reason why the Holy Spirit guided Solomon to use this. There's many different arrows, but one target. And as a parent, here's your target, that you would raise godly kids. I hope that's your target. I hope and I pray that that's the goal. Not that they get the scholarship. If that happens, that's great. That can't be the target. Not that they make a lot of money. If that happens, that's great. It shouldn't be the target. The target is, hey, I want to raise godly kids. So arrows are different. So our son Luke, who's 7, and my kids are young, and their personalities will probably adapt, but he's so kind, if you know him, so sweet. We don't have to discipline him much, but I can just look at him out the corner of my eye, and he'll get nervous and start to get teary-eyed a little bit. He's sensitive in that way, and maybe you have a kid like that. Incredibly strong young man. That's Luke. He's an artist. He's creative. Dude can draw way better than I can. Like, I mean, it's pathetic for me, but good for him, right? And that's Luke. And Nora, our 3-year-old, she is very strong-willed. I bet there's some people in the house online that you've got a child. You're like, yep, they are strong-willed. A little less PC way, politically correct way. They're stubborn, right? And here's a breakthrough moment that we had. And I'll be done here soon. But here's a breakthrough moment that my wife and I had. And by the way, you're just doing great. Just chilling with that bow, man. You just look awesome. Pastor Dante's like, when are you going to let me do something up here? But Nora is very strong-willed, and it was about a year or so ago that my wife Isabel, she'll be here in second service, we're really having some struggles there, and And she really had this like aha God moment. And I was like, yes, babe, yes, yes, yes. And we were even talking about it again last night. But here's what she said to me. Brian, I want to make sure that we don't try to squelch that strong will, because God actually gave her that strong will. Instead, we've got to figure out, how do we launch her with that strong will towards the target? How do we move that, adjust that in such a way that's going to really help some parents? How do we move that and adjust that in a way where it can be used for God? So we changed the way we prayed. Because it can be a blessing or a burden. We choose to see it as a blessing from God. So here's how we prayed since that moment. God, you gave her that personality for a reason. And it ain't easy right now. But you gave it to her for a reason. And so we pray this all the time, that you would use her strengths for your kingdom. That no one would ever get her off of her relationship with you. I was thinking about this earlier today as preparing for this message, getting tears in my eyes almost. That God, you would use her strength, that no one would ever change her mind on you. That she would stand strong in her faith. God, that she would be bold in her faith. That her audacious, man, I've been in Texas way too long, all my life. Her audacious faith would be so attractive to others that they would see a young woman who doesn't compromise, but stands on the truth of God's words. That's our job. That's mission-minded. And as for Lucy, she's 9 months right now. We don't know what her personality is, all right? But we'll figure it out. And here's the deal. If you can get this ready here, Pastor Dante. Now, lastly, before he does this and before we pray, we've got an apple in the back. I need somebody to volunteer to put it on their head over here. Would you raise your hand? Nobody? Okay. Well, next service,
yeah,
maybe.
Next service.
But once you pull that back a little bit, that long bow, and he's actually not going to shoot it if you're getting real nervous and like this group starts moving back, like you're going to be okay. But the idea is to stay focused in your parenting on the target. I love this quote. You won't see a slide for this, from Zig Ziglar. Okay, what a name, by the way. But Pastor Zig Ziglar, here's what he says. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. So your job is to stay mission-minded, focused on your why, W-H-Y. Why you're called to parent. It's a calling. It's a blessing from God. And so you keep your eyes locked on the target. Your job in parenting is to pull back, prepare them, help aim them in the right direction, and then you let them go. And you send them off ahead, believing in faith and praying in faith that the Holy Spirit helped you to prepare them for what's next ahead. Mission minded. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? Thank you so much, Pastor Dante. Jesus, I pray right now that in parenting, in marriage, in life, leadership, I pray, God, you'd help us to settle in our heart today what's at the center of our lives. Not what we say we believe, but how we live. And whenever we settle that in our hearts, everything else will result from it. I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, to remember our why. God, parenting, it's a blessing, but sometimes it feels like a burden. So help us to keep our eyes locked on the target to raise godly kids, to live out our faith at home. God, we know really you're taking this series full circle right now. One of the weeks our focus was our whole life is a sermon. And if we're parents, God, we're preaching to our kids, sometimes with our words, but most often with our actions. I pray, God, that we would keep you at the focus, that we would keep you in mind as we prepare our kids for what's next, to launch them out to their God-given destiny. And I pray, God, even for those in this house, that you're in a different parenting season. You're an empty nester. Your kids are living their life. Your job as parents is not over yet. It just looks different. You may not speak with them every single day or give them wisdom or anecdotes every single day, but whenever you have those windows of opportunity, when they're hurting, when they reach out, that's your moment. to affirm them and maybe even help guide them in the right direction towards the target, to pray for them. I know there's people in this room that you've struggled in your journey to have children. I've shared our story before. It's heartbreaking anytime that there's a struggle, or God forbid, anytime you have a miscarriage. Let God encourage you today that He's with you. You're like, yes, Pastor, they're a blessing. We want that blessing. We want our quiver full. Let me encourage you today. God sees your heart's desire, and He will provide. He will help. It may look differently than you think or you've thought of before, but He's with you. For those that are single in the house and you're like, Pastor, this one, I'm not really sure what to take away from it. I'll tell you what God's saying to you, what I really feel in my heart, that there's maybe a blessing in your life that you've prayed for God to take away. But if you would just see it differently as a blessing and not a burden. Yes, they both have weight. They both have meaning. But there's a reason that God allowed that to happen. There's a reason that you're going through that thing. It's a blessing. It's just how you view it. God can use it to do a great work in you and through you. Jesus, may you be at the center of our parenting, our marriages, our lives, our families. May we always remember the why, heading towards the target, towards the goal. We love you so much. And I pray, God, lastly, for anybody underneath the sound of my voice that they're far from you, I pray today they would place you at the center of their life. I pray today they would surrender their life to you. It starts with belief, and then moving forward out of our love for you, serving you, following you, not to make us more saved, but living out the faith, living out the belief that we have. Desire to continue in that relationship with you, God. And so if that's you, you're far from God, in this moment you can put Him at the center. You just tell Him things like this: Jesus, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I can't rescue myself. So I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I put my faith and my trust in you. Help me to follow you. Like wind in my sails, help me to move forward, to live out my faith. Jesus, I believe. I'm just giving you some words to say. It's really important that you talk to Him. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the dead. And I believe now you're saving my soul. You're rescuing me. You're setting my feet upon a rock. And so I pray from this day forward, God, I'm going to keep you at the center of it all. I'm going to miss it, and I'm going to stub my toe, and I'm going to skin my knee, but with your help, I'm going to get back up and keep moving forward. It may at times be one step back, but then right after that, with your help, Holy Spirit, I'm going to take two steps forward. I'm going to keep showing up. I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep moving forward because you're worth it. Jesus, be the center of it all. God, thank you for what you've done today, and thank you for what you've done in this series. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at ChristCove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at ChristCove Houston.